Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Friday morning, we talk a little bit about Texas corn with the Texas Corn Producers Association. And today, I have next with me is Mr. President Charlie Ring of the Texas Corn Producers. How are you doing today, Mr. Ring?
Well, dry, hot and dry. Texas is in rough shape right now.
Well, it's not any better up here in West Texas. It feels like it's even hotter and even drier in this drought condition that we're in.
Yeah, there are combines running right now in sorghum. So it's starting up. I don't know how it'll... Sorghum looks a little better than the corn crop, but the cotton crop is... A lot of it's gone.
Mm.
There's some of us still trying to water cotton and make some cotton, but a lot of it's been... abandoned.
Well, and I know up here with the winter wheat condition, how a lot of people are just harvesting just to keep the seeds for next year, and hopefully we can have a better crop season next year on a lot of our commodities.
Yes, that's what we're here for, next year.
Well, I know Texas Corn had a huge event called a trade school program that y'all hosted, and dive into a little bit about what trade school is for those who don't know. Immediately, I thought of welding school, but talking a little bit about a different aspect of trade school for some of those producers and what happened at that event and the meeting.
You know, I'm a little unusual, not really, but in that I mean, being in South Texas, all of my sorghum goes to Mexico. The corn goes to Mexico. The sorghum's been going on a boat to China, and of course, cotton goes all over the place, but mostly in containers over the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little different perspective, and we have our own grain storage, and I've been marketing my own stuff for years, so I recognize the importance of it more so than some of the guys that go down to the local elevator and co-op and, you know, what is it right now? And they don't have the concept, because I have to get my commodity to a market, meaning Mexico or even to the port. And, you know, we've learned a lot. We had a BNSF representative talk about rail freight. The basis is a derivative of all these things, and mainly the freight from where you're at to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you don't see unless you're involved like we have been here in trying to get our commodity to the end user. We sell some to Azteca in the Valley, and we sell some into Progreso from Mexico, and all of the freight has a big influence on what we do. And that was brought out real strongly in this meeting, that, you know, what creates the market? Why should we be worried about foreign buyers? Why should we be worried about all these things? The end users, we need them all. We need them all. Mm-hmm. We need to when the hull of corn gets big, we got to get it down, and somebody's got to use it. That's what trade's all about.
Well, you know, at this trade school, how much was the discussion of, you know, this whole, we went through this pandemic, it ruptured, you know, every commodity we had, even in going into the livestock industry. You know, I'm a huge meat science guy, and seeing, you know, the four major packers, even going to Tyson and Amarillo, mm-hmm. how much of a impact it had on, you know, labor and everything else. How much impact was affected, you know, even up to this day of 2022 for your industry and for your own fields out there?
Oh, well, certainly, of course, the cost of everything we touch has gone up as a result of that and many other things. It's not just our COVID, you know, shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
We had fertilizer mentioned and discussed, and why did fertilizer do what it did? Where are the shortage of it? And, of course, the Ukraine. All of that was discussed. You know, the end user, meaning the feedlots, you know, cattle on feed, all of those numbers were put in front of us. Now, whether me as a farmer, whether I understood most of them, that's yet to be determined. But yeah, we all have to realize that we have a product. We are price takers.
Mm-hmm.
We can do our best to capture a price. We don't create a price, and I think that's that. The common public or the overall public, I don't think quite understands that.
Mm-hmm.
What they pay is for transportation, packaging, all of those things are what creates the issue we have with, if you want to call it food inflation, call mm-hmm. it. But it's not us at the bottom that are creating the majority of it. We take what we get.
Well, and if consumers don't know, I mean, a dollar for, you know, an agricultural product, a very, very slim portion is even going back to the producers as we speak. Majority is going towards that transportation or marketing or the business people. And it's quite shocking how much, you know, just from a dollar, I think it's like 5 to 10 cents maybe out of that dollar goes back to the people or who are putting in the hard work to get that crop up and ready to go.
We have to know what our bottom line is, and once that number, that price gets above, you know, where we can see a black number instead of a red number, we better be engaged in the market. And I think that's part of this whole thing, was to understand trade
mm-hmm.
and why it's important and where our products go. You know, the rail system's kind of indicated that, as to, you know, where can we get the product to market with the cheapest amount of transportation. And generally, on long distances, that's going to be rail.
Mm-hmm.
Short distances, that's truck.
And mm-hmm.
unfortunately or fortunately for me, that all of mine goes south, which is not rail. It's all truck into Mexico or truck into Corpus or truck into Houston. Because it you have to go a longer distance. Now, the panhandle is a different story entirely. And a lot of discussion was made about the unit trains and, you know, why they're important and how the distance it takes for those to be economically sound. And a lot of discussion about transportation.
Well, and that's a good point you brought up. You know, yeah, we've got different transportation, you know, motives up here in the agricultural industry. But it's right now, you know, how bizarre, how much, you know, we've lost in transportation over the past, you know, 2 to 3 years as we speak on the semi aspect. You know, I'm from Lubbock County, which is homegrown cotton country. And that's all I grew up around was cotton. And going home, you know, in the fall during or Christmas break, seeing a lot of those modules sitting out there for weeks on weeks on weeks because they don't have enough drivers to even get them to the co-op or get them to the gym.
Yeah. The old fellas up there have a little better shot at leaving it sit than we do in South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hurricane come in and we could lose the whole thing in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you talked about being engaged with, you know, the markets. What were some of the aspects talked about? You know, a lot of, you know, news now is talking about, you know, we're maybe facing a recession at some point, or we've got a huge inflation as we speak on a lot of products, a lot of things not getting produced. What are agriculturalists thinking right now on the markets for, you know, the futures coming up for production?
I'm a little worried in that prices will drop faster than our inputs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like this year, we had an increase in our fertilizer costs. You know where our fuel has gone. And all of those we can actually put our production, fix our inputs in early in the year, and the price of our commodity fall off after we've already spent all our money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you want to hedge all that? It's a tough one. That's what I say again. It goes back to you better start pricing grain when you're in that black spot. And that red number.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we talk a lot about up here, you know, looking at our risk as a across the board, whether you're growing wheat, sorghum, cotton, you know, raising cattle, have a cow-calf operation, looking at your risk, because right now in the times of, you know, all our input costs are probably a lot of people are outweighing what they're going to get out of this output cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that y'all talked a little bit about, you know, kind of the future of agriculture and kind of what people were expecting. We talked about the future of the markets. What other aspects were they talking about, you know, seeing for future production and agriculturalists out there in the world?
Well, you know, I made a comment in that, and we're going into a new farm bill here pretty soon. They're already in discussion about it. The components of that have to secure us a way to move on after a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is just, I related a story about 1989, and I've been farming 45 years now since I got out of college. And in 89, we did not, up until 89, we did not have crop insurance. That's when it kind of came in, and the farm programs came in and demanded it if we took any money. And I related that it took me 30 years to recover from 1 year mm-hmm. without insurance. And it's just imperative that we maintain that protection, whether it's, you know, sometimes it doesn't cover everything. It does a better job. In some areas of the United States, that covers more of your plus side. I think South Texas and West Texas, maybe Texas in general, crop insurance keeps you going, but it won't make you money.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those years. Without crop insurance, I'd be. Well, I'm not. I'm. I don't have enough time left to recover. Yeah. I have to stop and think about when I sign a note on a tractor now. How long is it going to take to pay all this stuff? And I'm not slowing down any. I don't have a reason or desire to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to consider, you know, that it's food security. Every other country in the world is worried about whether we have enough. The U.S. has always had plenty. And we've always been able to export what we can't use. And that's what trade is all about, to keep that supply flowing, keep it flowing not just here but everywhere.
Well, Mr. Ring, on that note, I've got to tell you, thank you so much for what you do. I don't think enough farmers out there, ranchers, producers, and agriculturalists get enough thank yous for everything that y'all do. Y'all are the backbone of America and making sure that we have food on our table just as like y'all have food on y'all's table. So again, thank you so much, Mr. Ring, for what you have done for us and for consumers and for yourself.
Thank you.
Well, I hope we can talk again about some more Texas corn later on. But again, Mr. Ring, thank you so much for coming on for the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Awesome. Thank you so much.